ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। नमो भगवते श्रीहरिं परमानन्दम् उपदेष्टारमीश्वरम् व्यापकं सर्वलोकानां कारणं तं नमाम्यहम् अपरोक्षानुभूतिर्वै प्रोच्यते मोक्षसिद्धये सद्भिरेव प्रयत्नेन वीक्षणीया मुहुर्मुहुः। So we have seen the first verse is a verse of benediction wherein we seek the grace of the Lord for the teacher seeks the grace of the Lord for the successful completion of the text and also for the student to be able to study and understand it completely. And the second verse presents Anubandha Chatushtayam, the four aspects involved in any book. The one who writes the book always involves four factors: the subject matter of the book, the content of the book, then the intended reader who would read and benefit the textbook, the eligible person who deserves that knowledge and who makes use of the text subject matter, who benefits by reading subject matter, is the adhikari. So vishayaha adhikari, and the third is sambandaha, and fourth one is phalam. Of course, what the phalam, what is the benefit? Jnanam is the phalam. Knowledge is the fruit. Knowledge, of course, results in what? Knowledge itself is moksha. Jnanam, which is moksha. So the three aspects of the Anubandha Chatushtayam are brought in here. The fourth aspect being highly technical, it is kept for later on understanding. Okay? Sambandha. We have seen this second verse also. And third verse onwards till the 11th verse, Adishankar Bhagavad Pada presents the introduction to Aparoksha Anubhutihi. Introduction to Aparoksha Anubhutihi is presented in the form of presentation of the fourfold qualifications required for Jnanam. So we have seen the third verse. So we'll read the third and the fourth also.
Svavarnashrama dharmena tapasaharitoshanat साधनं प्रभवेत् पुंसाम् वैराग्यादिचतुष्टयम्। ब्रह्मादिस्थावरान्तेषु vairagyam vishayeshvano yathaiva kakavishtayam vairagyam taddhi nirmalam.
So in the third verse, he just introduces the fourfold qualifications and he explains the fourfold qualifications in all the following verses till the 11th verse. He says, Swavarna Ashrama Dharmena. Why Sva? Because each one has relative, one's own relative Varna Ashrama Dharma. Okay. Sva Varna Ashrama Dharmena Tapasa Haritoshanath. Now, that one line says, how, so Shankaracharya, how to acquire these fourfold qualifications, he says in the first line. And thereafter, he introduces fourfold qualifications. See, pumsam sadhanam prabhavet. Pumsam sadhanam prabhavet means what? For human beings, sadhanam prabhavati, the means of knowledge becomes accomplished. Not means, but the qualifications required for the knowledge. This qualifications required for knowledge is called sadhanam here. Sadhanam prabhavati happens, becomes accomplished. The qualifications for knowledge become accomplished. For whom? For human beings. Pumsam sadhanam prabhavati prabhavet. How? He says two things. Haritoshanat. Haritoshanam. Harihi here is the Lord. Toshanam means pleasing. Toshanat, but now, see, Toshanam becomes the cause for accomplishment of our qualifications required for jnanam. Toshanam, pleasing becomes the cause. Hetu, hetvarte panchami. Okay. What is that? How can I accomplish fourfold qualifications? By pleasing the Lord. Okay. For which, it's very important to please the Lord. How can I please the Lord? Haritoshanam, how can I please the Lord? No, tapasa, by one's tapas. So tapas stands for upasanam. Tapas stands for austerity. Tapas means austerity. Austerity means what now? No, making firm conviction to follow the necessary disciplines strictly. One has to make firm conviction to follow the disciplines strictly. That the conviction of strictly following the disciplines is called austerity, the tapas. Which also involves what now? We can say upasanam also, meditation also. This is what I am going to get up in the morning 5 o'clock. Very difficult to do. No, this is the discipline. I need to discipline myself first. The knowledge is somewhere far. Moksha is somewhere very, very far. No, I will not sleep till 8 o'clock. I will wake up at 5:30. No, I should definitely make it a habit to do the japam at 6 o'clock in the morning. No. Today I will 7 o'clock, today 8 o'clock, no. Definitely, whatever happens, 6 o'clock, I should be able to do my japam. Every day. Once in a while, something happens, okay, but regularly I should make it a point to do japam this time. And I should have, for breakfast, whatever happens, I should have, this is what I'm going to eat for breakfast. Now, for lunch, this is what I'm going to eat. This is how I'm going to eat. I'm not going to eat everything, anything which is available because I'm hungry. No, this is what my food, this is how I should bathe, definitely. Whatever it is, whether I like it or not, I had to bathe this time of the day. Like that, now, any all those good habits, we're going to see later on how to inculcate good habits also. The good habits, we have to make it a point to have develop good habits by following the disciplines strictly, and which is itself is what? Which itself is tapas, conviction, isn't it? It's called austerity. So making all the possible efforts to follow all the disciplines strictly becomes austerity. That is how you become more disciplined. So only by being disciplined you can please Bhagavan. There is no way of pleasing Bhagavan means being able to tap Bhagavan's grace. So being capable of tapping Bhagavan's grace is what? Pleasing Bhagavan. How can you please Bhagavan? If you are able to tap Bhagavan's grace, you have pleased Bhagavan. How? By tapas. Okay, strictly following the necessary disciplines. We should know what are all the disciplines I need to follow and make all possible efforts to follow this discipline. It's called tapas. Okay, fine. One more thing is that to please Bhagavan, Swavarna Ashrama Dharmena. Okay, so by performing one's duties, one should know what one's duties are in keeping with one's ashrama. You need not do what sannyasis do. You need not do what you have your own ashrama is there. So what ashrama I belong to in keeping with my age? Oh, I don't know which ashrama I belong to. Calculate your age and you can make out. Okay? And according to the age, you should know your ashrama. In keeping with my ashrama duties are. Then what my varna dharmas are. Okay? One should know one's duties, one should perform one's duties. And now I said, because this very, you are very confused about the varna and ashrama also, at least at present, what we do wherever we are living, we're living a life of karma yoga, isn't it? Living a life of karma yoga, we have to understand as what? No, it's a substitute now. Not substitute, living a life of karma yoga, not a substitute. Whether even if you can't follow varna dharma, ashrama dharma strictly, at least whatever duties you are doing, those duties must be performed as yoga. So then whatever you are doing now, that should be converted into yoga. So karma yoga. And I also introduced last class, panchamaha yajnaha. Remember, panchamaha yajnaha. So following panchamaha yajnaha in one's life, thereby also converting one's life into a life of karma yoga and strictly following the disciplines with firm conviction, one can live one's life in conformity with the universal law and order. Thereby one can tap Bhagavan's grace. That's how one can please Bhagavan. That's how one can gain what? The sadhanam, the qualification required for knowledge becomes accomplished. Avan arulal avan thal patri. You have to really, only Bhagavan's grace has to be tapped for antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naischalyam. For mental purity and mental steadiness, without which knowledge will be impossible. It's not impossible to gain the jnanam. It is possible to gain the jnanam. But impossible to gain the jnanam if we do not have antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naischalyam. The mental purity and mental steadiness, it is not possible for one to become absolutely pure and steady until jnanam. But one has to be relatively pure and steady, for which one needs Bhagavan's grace. And Bhagavan's grace is not possible unless you really strictly follow disciplines and unless you live a life of karma yoga, a dharma, completely value-based dharma, life, and dharma governed lifestyle in the form of Panchamaha Yajnas, following Panchamaha Yajnas. Therefore, Susvavarna Ashrama Dharmena Panchamaha Yajnehi Karma Yoga Anushtanena, okay, Karma Yoga Karma Yogena, you can say. Then Tapasa Hari Toshayitva, okay, Hari Toshanath Pumsam Sadhanam Prabhaved. Okay, one can become mentally prepared for jnanam. This is the means of accomplishing the fourfold qualifications. How to acquire mental preparedness required for jnanam. Then he presents what are those qualifications. If you are prepared minded means, how should your mind be? That is presented later on. If you are prepared minded, if you say you are mentally pure and steady, you are ready for jnanam, how are you? You must have these qualifications. What are they? He presents. Vairagyadi chatushtayam. He introduces the qualifications in the third verse. So what does he do, the Acharya do in the third verse? He first states how to acquire mental preparedness and mental preparedness for required for jnanam. Thereby he also introduces the fourfold qualifications. How does he introduce? Vairagyadi chatushtayam. Chatushtayam, a set of four. And what are they? Vairagya adi. Adi means etc. In Tamil you can say Vairagyam mudaliya nangum. So Vairagyadi chatushtayam means what? The four set of fourfold qualifications beginning with Vairagyam or Vairagyam etc. Finished. We are going to the fourth verse, today's class. Brahmadis, now he introduces first, the four, five, six, like this, all other verses, he is introducing all these qualifications. Until the 11th verse. Brahmadisthavaranteshu.
Brahmadisthavaranteshu.
Vairagyam Vishayeshvano.
Vairagyam Vishayeshvano.
Yathaiva kakavishtayam.
Yathaiva kakavishtayam.
Vairagyam taddhi nirmalam.
Vairagyam taddhi nirmalam.
Vishayeshu vairagyam. The first qualification he introduces is vairagyam. Vishayeshu vairagyam. Vishayeshu vairagyam is a Sanskrit expression. In English, dispassion towards all the objects. All the objects means what? Objects means anything other than the self. No, vigataha ragaha yasya saha viragaha. Okay? The one from whom the passion for worldly things, desire for attachment to worldly things has gone, is called viragaha. Absence of attachment, absence of passion is called viragaha. And viragaha means, vairagi, if you say, the dispassionate person. Viragaha, dispassion. Okay. Or viragasya bhavaha vairagyam. Vairagyam. The word viragaha can mean dispassionate. It also means dispassion. Vairagi is dispassionate. And vairagyam is dispassion again. Bhavaha Vairagyam. So dispassion towards everything else other than this self. So Vairagyam towards all the objects. Vishayeshu Vairagyam. So what are all the Vishayaha? What are all the objects? He says, Brahma Adi Sthavara Anteshu. He says, everything in this universe. Everything means what? What is the higher? He says, he just says, the best of the pleasures. No, the highest of the pleasures. The most exalted of the pleasures is what? Enjoyment of pleasures in Brahmaloka. See, with the whole world, there are varieties of pleasures which we are interested in. We are desirous of enjoyment of pleasures. All of us are interested in desirous of enjoying different types of pleasures. And here he brings all the pleasures. Pleasures are what? Pleasures are dependent on the objects of pleasures. So he means pleasures and the enjoyment of pleasures which are dependent on the availability of the objects of pleasures. So he mentions the most exalted of the pleasure is a heavenly pleasure, and for which one has to go to Brahmaloka. And you can imagine any other pleasure is not, of secondary status. Any other pleasure has secondary status only. Then sthavara anteshu. Sthavara means what now? The least pleasure that you can enjoy in this world. Sthavaram means immobile. Tishtati iti sthavaram. That which does not move is called sthavaram, immobile. Immobile means what? A plant. Not only a plant, even the other inert objects. Not the sentient objects, insentient objects. Insentient things. So sthavaram means immobile living beings. Sthavaram also means immobile non-living things. It can include what? House, etc. Landed property, house, the wealth. The money doesn't walk by itself, So you have to carry it all the time. Therefore, sthavara includes all forms of wealth, all forms of objects which are insentient. All forms of wealth, all forms of prosperity is implied by the term sthavara. And also sthavara is implied by what now? All forms of mobile, we can say immobile, plants, etc., living beings. So in between what now? All these jangama you have to include. Jangama means what now? Mobile assets. Your car, you have to drive it, and all the cattle wealth, etc. It includes now. Sthavara anta becomes, therefore, all forms of assets in the mobility, which are capable of mobility, and all forms of assets in the form of mobile assets, and all the living beings, all the non-living things, and also any other object in this world. And what to talk of? What is the highest object of pleasure is a Brahmaloka prapti, even Brahmaloka. And enjoying this enjoyment or the status of being the lord of everything. Brahmaloka prapti we have studied in Gayatri also. That also he includes. He says, this person who wants jnanam, who knows the value of moksha, and maybe who knows the value of jnanam, because moksha is the only, owning up of eternal fullness, happiness, which is one's own swarupam, is the jnanam, isn't it, which is permanent. Other than that, Brahmaloka Prapti or any other pleasure is dependent on the object of pleasure. Any object is material in nature. Therefore, any object is time-bound in nature. Therefore, the pleasure also will be time-bound. Is it clear now? The object, any enjoyment of any pleasure, any amount of pleasure, longest pleasure or short time duration pleasure, any pleasure is dependent on the object of enjoyment. And any object is material in nature. Any material object is time bound in nature. Is it clear? Time bound means not permanent. Therefore, no object in the world, even though any object in the world is an object of enjoyment, it becomes an instrument of triggering your own swarupam for a fraction of time. Isn't it? It's only any pleasure is a fraction of fullness only, surfacing of the fraction of your own swarupam. The fullness is pleasure. And that pleasure also, what now? For that to be triggered into surface, it is very much dependent on the object of enjoyment, pleasure. That is called object of pleasure. No object in the world is a source of pleasure. Please understand. There is no object in the world is a source of pleasure. The source of pleasure is happiness. What is pleasure? Pleasure is a fraction of fullness. Okay, the fullness, happiness is fullness. Happiness is fullness. Happiness is limitlessness. And a fraction of fullness is pleasure, which is a state of mind. Fullness is swarupam, pleasure is a state of mind. Please remember, fullness is swarupam, pleasure is a state of mind. And pleasure is a state of mind which surfaces, which is a fraction of the fullness which surfaces when the attention of the mind is held by a given object of enjoyment or experience. Is it clear? Therefore, there is no object in the world is a source of pleasure. And any object is only an instrument, that pleasure is dependent on the given object of enjoyment. And any object is material manifestation of matter. And therefore, every object is of the nature of inertness. And not only, therefore, it's not time bound in nature. Time bound in nature. Therefore, pleasure is time bound. And what I mean, a person should know what I'm interested in. I'm not interested in time bound pleasure. I'm desperately, what I want is the everlasting happiness, which is fullness. And this fullness, happiness is what I want, means I'm not simply that I have understood now. See, simply I want happiness is something an ignorant person also can say. Aviveki, not ignorant. An aviveki also can say, I want happiness. I want to be happy. But a mumukshuhu and jigyasuhu is different from, is a viveki here. A mumukshuhu is a viveki. A discriminate person. He is not like any other aviveki who says, every human being in the world says, I want to be happy. He is not just the one who says, I want to be happy. He knows happiness is my choiceless end. There's a difference. Happiness is my choiceless end. And this has to be discovered. I have no choice about discovering happiness. Should I discover or not? Should I have happiness or not? Come on, there's no choice. Happiness is the choiceless end. Therefore, it cannot be accomplished. It has to be only discovered. The accomplishment is only in terms of knowledge. No? Therefore, that happiness is what? No, only in terms of knowledge. And knowledge of happiness is knowledge of the reality. And knowledge of the reality is knowledge of the self. Okay, self-knowledge, knowledge of Brahma Jnanam, Atma Jnanam and Moksha Jnanam, they're all synonyms. Ananda Jnanam, synonyms. Knowledge of happiness, knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the self, they're all one and the same. Therefore, it is knowledge which alone will help me discover and own up the happiness which is already my swarupam. Once person knows this jnanam, value of knowledge, and he knows limitations of everything in this world, that nothing else in the world can give me what I am seeking. And this understanding, what now? Really, this conviction, and understanding gives rise to what now? Dispassion towards everything else. What are all the things? I am Brahmaloka. If a person can ignore Brahmaloka, means imagine he should be capable of ignoring anything else. You all may ask, oh, we are not interested in Brahmaloka pleasure, but we are interested in going, we want pleasures like, you know, going here and there and traveling in the world. That's why Bhagavan says, you do not even know. You cannot have desire for something which you do not know. That is why your desire is always for things which you know. Shastram says, enjoyment of the pleasure, heavenly pleasure, is the highest of the, exalt of the pleasures, means Bhagavan says, includes what now? All other pleasures, all the objects of pleasures are brought in between these two. Okay, A to Z means what? A to Z means all 26 letters are included in that A to Z. Similarly, Brahmadis Thavaranteshu Vishayeshu Vairagyam. This is first. In Shankaracharya presents the second qualifications as the first qualification. Here, in this context. Because Vairagyam is not possible without Viveka. Okay, but he presents it, Vairagyam, as a, because he knows that we already know this little. Vishayeshu. So Brahmadi Sthavara, Brahma Adi Sthavara Anteshu Vishayeshu Vairagyam. How? Anu. That Anu stands for what? Anu is a very interesting word, okay? Anu means after having thoroughly analyzed with Viveka. Parikshalokan karmachitan nirvedamayad brahmanaha. That is implied by the word anu here. Okay? And means having analyzed thoroughly. This purushartha nischayaha and the value of moksha. Dajav, the value of moksha and value of knowledge. And this purushartha nischaya means happiness is something choiceless end. With this understanding, one knows it is the knowledge which alone can bless me with discovery of fullness. Owning up of fullness. Not even discovery. Knowledge itself is discovery of the fullness. Okay? And discovery, owning up of fullness. It is only the knowledge which will help me to own up my swarupam being already fullness. Nothing else. Okay, this understanding born vairagyam is what now? Anu. How does vairagyam come? Born of understanding. Vairagyam is of two types. Know that. Nischaya Vairagyam, isn't it? Then Smashana Vairagyam. Smashana Vairagyam means what? Smashana. Smashana Vairagyam means, Smashana means burial ground. Cremation ground. It's called Smashanam. நம்மோடு சொல்லுவோம் இல்லையா ஸ்மசானம். அண்ட் சம்படி டைஸ் and people carry the body and cremate there, and that day we talk, oh my god, what is this life? The life is nothing, you know, this is what the what has the person accomplished now. And all of us feel very we become all, when somebody dies, when they take the body to the cremation and we talk about the goodness of the person, the other side of the person, we talk only of the goodness of the person after he dies. All remember all the good things about the person after he dies. And then we also feel this is what the life is, you know. Life is gone. And we all feel somewhat of dispassionate that day. And suddenly we feel disinterested in everything. And that vairagyam stands only for a few days. And afterwards, we come to the same lifestyle. That again we become passionate about other things. It only Buddha, okay, when he saw one dead body being carried away, just dispassion towards the whole royal life, he wanted jnanam. Isn't it? Not everybody. So, our vairagyam, initially people have smashana vairagyam. But actually here, but not, it's not frustration born vairagyam. When things are not conducive, and things are very upsetting, one after that all failures come in life, conditions are very bad, and it's a conditional vairagyam, okay? Samaya, then you become very dispassionate, immediately want to go away to some ashram and join some gurukulam somewhere, and you want to be member there, and you also, people immediately take sannyasa. And then they live life sannyasa. And when everything's change, when conditions all change, then you feel, my God, I should have taken sannyasa. That means what? No, it's called escapism. So, the escapism vairagyam is not good. You want escape, you don't have the guts to face the failures in life. You don't have the guts to fail, you know, disappointments in life. You don't have the guts to face, you know, losses in life. Then conditions are all not conducive. Then you really, I hate this life. I want to go away for sannyasa. If people go for pursuit of knowledge, then this escapism, isn't it? It's only escapism. It is not vairagyam. People sometimes mistake escapism for vairagyam. People mistake frustration for vairagyam. When you do not, we are not able to fulfill certain desires, and you get frustrated and you give up fulfilling those desires. That is giving up such of desires because of your incapability, you know, does not mean that you are really dispassionate towards those pleasures. This is called what? No, that is not also vairagyam. So frustration is not vairagyam. People mistake frustration for vairagyam. People mistake escapism for vairagyam. No, that's called smashana vairagyam. That means vairagyam does not last forever. Okay? Just goes. Isn't it? Therefore here, there's not one more word else is there. I'll tell you that is, it doesn't come to mind now. Actually here, vairagya means, the dispassion born of, what now? Firm conviction. Dispassion born of firm conviction. Born of firm understanding. That it is the jnanam which will help me know what I want. I am very clear. I am not at all confused. What is that I am seeking? I am very clear fullness. And that fullness is something to be worn up, not to be attained at all. And I am not able to worn up what I already have. Because Shastram says that it's only possible only by knowing it, recognizing it. Therefore, it is the jnanam which will help me own up my swarupam being already fullness. Therefore, that is when you know the value of knowledge, the mind, attention of the mind becomes totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, because the mind mind has a passion is only for jnanam. Passion means what? You know that the burning urge is for jnanam. That is what is passion for jnanam. Naturally helps you understand the limitations of everything. Brahmadis thavarantaha sarvepi vishayaha, no, moksham datum ashaktaha. Okay, they are incapable of giving me moksha. That understanding, bond, conviction is what now? The vairagyam. Is clear now? Therefore, that is implied by the term Anu. What Anu says? Brahmadi sthavaranteshu vishayeshu vairagyam Anu. Now, he gives example also. Yatha eva kaka vishtayam. And he explains, how should one's vairagyam be? Yatha kaka vishtayam. Yatha, just as. Yatha kakavishtayam vairagyam syat, tatha brahmadisthavaranteshu vairagyam. Kakavishta means the droppings of the crow. Why only crow? You can take any bird. Droppings. Because in India we see crows often flying here and there, you see. Everywhere crows will be sitting on the trees and then they'll be dropping. You know, it's a kakavishta. And then the crow drops also, immediately we say, and crow is looked upon as a shanaischara's vehicle. You know, and a crow has dropped you means some shani is with bath, immediately we have to immediately go and have shower. We won't just change the clothes, okay? We wash it off and have shower and go pray and come. That's also habit is there. We never, shani is there. Some pida, they think. Anyway, so what I'm saying, okay, the crows come and drop. The crow droppings, it's called kakavishta. What happens? What do you do towards kakavishta? You are least bothered. You don't have any hatred towards it. You don't have any liking towards it. What do? You remove it. Suppose it comes in the front of your house on the trees, the crows sit and then drop means. And they don't want those things to the place to be dirty, so immediately you clean it up and throw them away. And what sort of attitude you have towards them, kakavishtayam? You know, you never ever say, you don't call people, you know, crows came and they dropped and I removed all of them. You know, I removed all of them. Do you say that? You don't even consider there was kakavishta. You don't even remember that you removed the kakavishta. So you don't even, you have much better things to discuss with other people. You have no time for talk about it. And you don't even consider. It is your least considerate towards your removal of kakavishta. Similarly, the vairagyam should be such that when you become dispassionate towards anything in the world, you just forget about it. You know, nowadays I gave up this. And sometimes people want to talk about what all things they have given up in lives. Why? I renounced at the age of 17, you know that? That means you still have value for it. Anything, when you talk about anything which you have given up in life, you still have value for it. That is why you talk about the renunciation of that as something very great. Now give up that. Buddha, when he renounced the palace, the royal life, that is real renunciation. But he never said, I'm prince of big, no, royal family, and I renounced the whole royal life and I came out in search of knowledge. Buddha never said that. We want to talk about it. This is real renunciation. If somebody says, the person who has renounced the thing, if he says, you know, I renounced everything, I renounced even this, you know, I renounced this great life,
Somebody says, that means he still has value for what he has renounced. It is very important. That is why when you become dispassionate, what is that real dispassion, the pure dispassion? It is dispassion towards, if a person is said to be dispassionate person, he must have forgotten about what he is dispassionate towards. If a person talks about what he has renounced, what he has given up, what he is dispassionate towards, then still he has some value for whatever he is dispassionate towards. It's kind of this. That's why one's dispassion towards any pleasure in the world, anything in the world, must be such that, no, that just as one, no, how one's dispassion towards Kakavishta is what? No, how one Kakavishta, he doesn't removes and forgets it. He doesn't even remember that. Similarly, one must forget about what one has announced also. That means an object of least usefulness, how it doesn't sit in your attention at all. That's why you forget about it. Similarly, one should one's mind must be available only for jnanam. Really the passion for everything else should have disappeared like that. That is called taddhi nirmalam. Is it clear now? That's what is very important. Nirmalam vairagyam. Yatha eva kakavishtayam vairagyam tatha brahmadisthavarentashu vishayeshu vairagyam anu vairagyam nirmalam. That indeed is the real vairagyam. Real vairagyam.
Literal translation here.
Pure. Pure vairagyam means what? That's what I'm saying. Pure vairagyam means the Kakavishta is brought in here as an example. How Kakavishta is there and how you remove and throw it, then you just forget about it. Similarly, all the objects are pleasures. You don't have any passion towards the objects, and you forget about that you are not having passion towards them also. That is what is what now? Actual vairagyam. Real vairagyam. Have you got it? Okay. So having discussed about vairagyam in the fourth verse, the fifth verse he introduces the second qualification. Actually, the first qualification is introduced in this workbook as a second qualification.
Nityamatmasvarupam hi. Nityamatmasvarupam hi drishyam tadviparitagam. Drishyam tadviparitagam. Evam yo nischaya samyak. Evam yo nischaya samyak. Viveko vastuna savai. Nityamatma swarupam hi.
Nityamatma swarupam hi.
Drishyam tadviparitagam.
Drishyam tadviparitagam.
Evam yo nischaya samyak.
Evam yo nischaya samyak.
Viveko vastuna savai.
Viveko vastuna savai.
See, nityam atmaswarupam. Nityam hi atmaswarupam. The Vairagyam itself is possible only if you have Vivekaha. Vivekaha is what? Vivichya Jnanam Vivekaha. See, even if you miss Tattvabodha classes, you can make it up here. Vivichya Jnanam Vivekaha. Pahuttu Aridal. Discriminative knowledge. Because word discrimination has many meanings in keeping with the context where it is used. Because we do talk about what? Racial discrimination. We do talk about, you know, use the word discrimination in many contexts. But in Vedantic context, Vivekaha means what now? Vichyajnanam. Here he is. What is Vichyajna Vivekaha? He says, Atmaswarupam hi nityam. Swarupam of the Atma alone is time, is eternal. Swarupam of the Atma alone is eternal. The substance of the substantive I alone is eternal. That means what? The substance, the swarupam of the namarupani alone is eternal. All the namarupani are ephemeral, time bound. All the names and forms are ephemeral, time bound in nature. The swarupam of everything alone is eternal. Everything else is ephemeral. So, Atma Swarupam means what now? Swarupam, Atma Swarupam, the self, the Swarupam of every individual, the Swarupam of every being here is eternal. Everything else is what now? Drishyam. Okay? Drishyam means what? Perceptible. Anything which is perceptible is drishyam. Perceptible, this drishyam, perceptible is object of perception. Drashta or drik is subject of perception and drishyam is object of perception. For the object of perception, the object of knowledge, anything which is perceptible is knowable, is known, the object of knowledge. Drishyam is what? Tad, drishyam tad, viparitagam. Viparitagam means what now? It is opposed, it is ephemeral. Any object of knowledge is what? Subject to time bound in nature. Opposite to that. Okay, viparita means what? Viparitagam means, viparita means not the same. Not the same means what? It's opposed. Opposed to what? Atmaswarupam nityam. It is only this. So, Atmaswarupam alone is eternal, permanent. Not object to time limitation. Everything else is what? Other than self, whatever is object of knowledge, drishyam. This is object of perception, object of knowledge, the perceptible, anything which is perceptible is ephemeral, time-bound in nature. Okay, so viparitagam. Evam, yaha vastunaha vivekaha. nischayaha vivekaha, samyak viveka. Evam yaha nischayaha vastunaha, saha samyak vivekaha vai. That indeed is the samyak vivekaha. That is the proper discriminative knowledge. The discriminative knowledge should not be indiscriminative. Sometimes, no, we have improper discriminative knowledge. That is the proper discriminative knowledge, appropriate discriminative knowledge, samyak vivekaha. What now? Vastunaha samyak vivekaha. Vastu means what? Vastu means that which alone is vastu. Vastu means reality. It is an akaranta shabda. Vastu is an akaranta napmusakalinga shabda. Vastu means that which is vastu. From that only you get the word vastavam. Unmayil sarudhuke. Vastu means that which is vastu. That which is means the reality here. So vastu naha vivekaha. You discern the vastu. You discern the reality. What is the reality? That which is always is reality. What is that which is always is vastu. And what is the vastu here? Everything else is avastu. What is that vastu here? What is that which is always? Which is free? No, what is that is always beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently by itself, that which is vastu. Beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, independently, that which is always is vastu. Reality. Okay? And that vastu naha vivekaha. That vastu. Okay? And what do you know here? It is that vastu alone, Atma Swarupam is the only vastu. It is the Atma Swarupam. It is the Swarupam of the Atma alone is the vastu. Okay? What now? So, Atma Swarupam hi Nityam. Atma Swarupam hi Nityam. Vastu is Atma Swarupam alone is Nityam. Iti. Vastu naha. Samyak vivekaha. Okay? This is the discern the Atma being eternal and everything else other than the Atma being time bound. This discerning Atma as the only eternal vastu from all other eternal, the time bound vastus, objects, is called what now? Vastunaha samyak vivekaha. How does it happen? Yaha evam nischayaha yaha saha vastunaha samyak vivekaha. What is that nischayaha? Evam yaha nischayaha means that definiteness. What is the definiteness now? Atma swarupam hi nityam drishyam tad viparitagam. It is Atma Swarupam alone which is eternal. Everything else other than the Atma Swarupam is, you know, ephemeral, time-bound in nature. Iti nischayaha, this conviction, this firm understanding. Nischayaha means what now? Conviction, firm understanding. Okay, alone is called proper discernment of the reality from the ephemeral objects is called vivekaha. Okay, it's prop. You have to remember this here. Atma swarupam hi nityam drishyam tad viparitagam evam nischayaha yaha saha vastunaha samyak vivekaha. It's the pohadar. I repeated it. Okay, the proper discriminative knowledge is the discernment of the reality, being the eternal, and everything else other than the self being time bound is what now? Self is eternal, everything else is time bound. This firm conviction is what? The proper discernment of the self from the self from the time bound objects is called Viveka. Why? You should know it is the self which alone is permanent. Everything else is impermanent. Once you know, you have this Vivekaha, then you can work on that. Why? What you want is permanent happiness. You are not interested in time-bound pleasure. No, I am interested in permanent moksha, happiness. I am also interested in time-bound pleasures. That means you have not yet understood what is moksha. You have to start from the scratch. You have to be promoted and go back to kindergarten class. Again come back until you understand what moksha is, be there. Okay? No promotion here. That's why here we say what now? That this is, once I know what I want is eternal happiness, not the time-bound pleasure, then time-bound object can give only time-bound pleasure. Eternal reality alone can bless me with eternal happiness. A time-bound, what is the logic here? A time-bound thing cannot be a means of source of eternal happiness or fullness. A time-bound thing being spatially limited, anything which is time-bound is also spatially limited. Time-bound, a spatially limited thing, having object limitation, attribute limitation also, cannot be a source of, be means of everlasting fullness, happiness. So if what I want is everlasting happiness or fullness, that must be from what now? The eternal thing. Therefore, my pursuit must be of the eternal thing, not the time-bound thing. Okay? What you are interested in, what you are desperately seeking must be very clear. Then what is that permanent and impermanent should become very clear, so that you, this first you know what is permanent and what is ephemeral. Thereafter you can decide what I want is permanent. Therefore the permanent thing alone can give me permanent happiness. Impermanent time bound thing cannot give me permanent happiness. This understanding, is what now? Then you can. Helps you to have vairagyam. That is why vairagyam is always born of discriminative knowledge. Viveka janya is what now? Janyam is vairagyam. Without vivekaha, vairagyam will be smashana vairagyam or escapism vairagyam. Frustration vairagyam. There won't be proper vairagyam. First vivekaha, then vairagyam will come. Okay, vastunaha vivekaha, samyak vivekaha vairagyam. Sorry, vivekaha. How do you have vastunaha vivekaha? How do you have the how are you able to discern the vastu? Vastu alone is permanent. How do you know? Okay, isn't it? That's what is permanent. How? You understand it is Atma which is permanent and everything else other than the Atma is impermanent. Okay. This is called Vivekaha. So the Vivekaha is discussed in the 5th verse. You have seen. Now we will go to the 6th verse. Oh my God, time. We'll read that. I want to finish it. I want to do 6th verse today.
Sadaiva vasana tyagah. Shamoyamiti shabditah. Nigraho bahya vrittinam. Dama itya bhidiyate.
Some mistake is here. Adibhidiyate is there.
Dama itya bhidiyate.
Some mistake is here. Whose book is that? Okay, doesn't matter. Some printing mistake maybe. Okay, listen now. We won't go to the 6th verse. So the two qualifications have been discussed earlier in the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th. The third qualification, disciplines, sixfold disciplines, are discussed in the following verses. 6, 7 and 8. Okay, the 6th verse discusses Shamaha and Damaha, the twofold disciplines. The third qualification consists of sixfold disciplines, Shamaha, Damaha, Uparmaha, Titiksha, Shaddha, Samadhanam. Of them, Shamaha and Damaha are discussed in this 6th verse. We are not going to see Damaha, we will just see only Shamaha a little bit and stop. Okay. And here, Shankaracharya defines Shamaha a little differently from the definition of Shamaha in Tattva Bodha, what you have understood. There we understood Shamaha as what? Mano Nigraha. Mano Nigraha means what? Mastery over one's ways of thinking, mastery over one's mind or thoughts. Okay, is Samaha. And I told you. So, being capable of managing one's mind. Self-management or mind management implies having mastery over the mind, which is called Shamaha, Manonigraha. And here, Shankaracharya presents Sada Eva Vasana Tyagaha. Vasana Tyagaha, I am Shamaha iti Shabditaha. Shabditaha means it is sounded. It has been said. What is said? Shamaha, it is said to be Shamaha. What is that which is said to be Shamaha? What is that which is known as Shamaha? Vasana Tyagaha. Sada Eva. Okay, Vasana Tyagaha means what? Vasana Tyagaha, again, you cannot, Tyagaha literally means giving up. You cannot give up the Vasanas, but Vasana Tyagaha again means, like how Mano Nigraha means control of the mind's literal meaning, we understood as what now? Mind management. We also learned how to manage the mind. Similarly here also, Vasana Tyagaha means Vasana management or handling of Vasanas. So handling of Vasanas and thought management are ultimately basically one and the same. But we understand it differently. See, what is a Vasana? Vasana means a mental impression. Mental impression means what? A thought in dormant condition is called vasana. Mental impression means what? A dormant thought is vasana. Manifest vasana is a thought. Dormant thought is vasana and manifest vasana is a thought. And how do these vasanas happen? If we make it a point, do certain things. And if any action done once, look at this, any action done once, anything done once, anything enjoyed once, experienced once, leaves as impression on the mind. Leaves the impression on the mind. And what happens? That impression in the mind is called vasana. That becomes dormant. Suppose if you get up in the morning 5 o'clock one day, and then you make it a point to do next day, and it leaves the impression there. And every day what happens now? Then that impression becomes a thought. Like, no, okay, one day you eat chocolate, and then you like the taste, and it goes, the impression goes. And next time when you see again, what now? The impression is already there, then it becomes a thought. Then you make it a habit, then you start doing every day. Okay, then that becomes a habit. So somehow, and regularly you do it. Okay, regularly you do it, it becomes a habit. So vasanas play a great role in developing our habits. That's why we have what now? Some habits are healthy habits, some habits are very unhealthy habits. So if we have shubha vasana, ashubha vasana, unhealthy habits are unhealthy habits are expressions of unhealthy, the ashubha vasanas, and healthy habits are expressions of your shubha vasanas. If you have to manage the thoughts, means thoughts are nothing but manifestations of dormant vasanas. If you have shubha vasanas, the thoughts arise. Thoughts, the manifestations of shubha vasanas are what now? Thoughts, manifestations of ashubha vasanas are also thoughts. So, shubha vasana manifestation of thoughts are okay. We want that. But ashubha vasana manifesting as thoughts, they result in what? Unhealthy habits. People who get used to drinking, suppose alcohol, etc. Once you do it, it becomes creates an impression. Then again, that impression comes in the form of a thought. And that thought impels you to do action. That is how drinking becomes a habit. So anything which becomes a habit, breaking the habit is very difficult. It's not impossible, but difficult. You don't think it's impossible, means we are very completely negative. It is not impossible, but it's difficult. But we have to make efforts. Okay? So, we'll see when we come back, because it needs more time. Because this is very beautifully he analyzes. You see, the Shamaha, what you understand, Tattva Bodha, I've taught you very well. But here, the vasana management. Isn't it? We'll talk about it when we come back. Okay, because it needs more time. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.